SR.org. Stacy Mitchell, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. If you missed part of today's show or you'd like to hear previous shows, you can find them on FAIR's website. It's FAIR.org. And the website's also the place to sign up for FAIR's Action Alert Network. The show is engineered by Erica Rosado. I'm Janine Jackson. Thank you for listening to Counterspin.
And coming up next, we do have Talking About Practice. Before we get that going, we do want to thank the people that keep the lights on here. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Raw Tree Care and Preservation for all your residential or commercial needs. With over 15 years experience, Raw Tree Care services include pruning, removal, planting, bobcat and tractor work, chipping, fire abatement, crane and emergency services, and custom wood milling. Raw Tree Care is locally owned and operated, accepts all forms of insurance work, and can be reached at 321-4576 or by email at rawtree@gmail.com. Right on, Raw Tree Care, for all that you do for us here at KZFR. And like I said, Talking About Practice is coming up next.
We talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
That is right. We are talking about practice. Not a game, y'all. Not a game. Just practice. I am your host, Derek Isomaki. I am joined in the studio with me, as there always. I got my producer in training, John Lucan.
What up? What up?
What's
what
good,
up?
Brother? How you doing?
Doing good. This weather's delicious right now. It's not too hot.
It's frosty out there compared to what we've been having right now.
Yeah, it's nice.
I was gonna say, I'll take that any day of the week right now from what we've been having. I'm triple digits are. Hopefully, we have a little break from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, I guess obviously now, might as well be obviously. We got Jordan Booth, man.
You
Jordan
know who it
Booth.
Is.
He is here right now. What's good, my dude? How we doing?
I'm kicking it, man. I'm enjoying this weather.
Right?
Just it's, got out the like, pool.
It is cool right now.
Feeling yeah. real it good. It should just be guest host, and the guest is just in quotes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're always guests in
I'm
there.
Here. Like, oh, is he going to be yeah. here?
Who's it going to be?
You know who's going to be here.
But like I said, we do have Jiro. He will be coming in. He did say that. He called me right before the show started and said he'll be here in a few minutes right now. The guy's hustling right now. Got a couple of jobs right now. He's working on the grind, so
Papa Drew.
Yeah, gotta give him a little break right now. I understand where you're coming from, brother. Take it easy. We'll see you soon. But yeah, like always, we always do. Unless we're doing half a show, we always got a big show for you guys right now. So we got a full hour for y'all, and we got stuff to talk about. Actually, some draft stuff went down. We got some, draft news went down. Kings actually making some moves right now. Actually, get to talk about Kings, so you Kings fans can hang on to that. We got some baseball talk. Dodgers are murking right now. Cody Bellinger, if you don't know the name, I don't know where you've been right now. Some Formula One action happened. An Australian one. It was awesome. And the Big Three happened. But we're going to start with the draft. Because that was probably that happened this past week. We had kind of go a little bit corner plan. We had Markelle Fultz going number one, Lonzo Ball number two, and it kind of shook up a little bit from there.
Yeah, but, three was interesting.
We got Jason Tatum going to the Celtics.
Yeah,
that no one didn't really see that one coming. Then we had who went four?
Josh Jackson to the Suns.
That's it, yeah. Josh Jackson.
He was supposed to go three, I believe, or everyone was thinking he was going to go three.
He didn't work out for him, though.
I was going to say, he and the Celtics are not on in good hands right now. It's going to be interesting to see how he gets received in Boston, because Boston people are very salty, very easily.
Oh, for sure.
They get mad at you. They hang on to you. They're grudge holders for sure.
If I was a Boston fan, I'd be happier with Tatum anyways. I mean,
okay,
Josh Jackson's going to be a great player. I just think Tatum fits better.
You think Tatum fits better?
I think he fits better. Well, I think Josh Jackson's more of a plug-in player right now.
Yeah.
Like the Suns, I mean, he's going to get, you know, 30 to 40 minutes on the Suns right away.
Yeah.
With the Celtics, I mean, they have Jaylen Brown. They have all those kind of small forward pieces already in place, Crowder. So he's going to be splitting time. I think Tatum has more to develop, more time to kind of hone in his skills in game. So he can do that kind of as like the third or fourth guy in that rotation. I feel like would be better for him than Josh Jackson, who's going to be expecting to play now.
I feel that. I don't know. I think Tatum.
Well, crafted argument.
Okay. Yeah, Tatum's a good player, is a better offensive player, but I think Josh Jackson is an athletic monster.
Right. Yeah. All around.
Yeah.
As well.
All around. So it's like, even if you have somebody at his position, you could still pluck him in and he can help you other ways.
Right.
And with them being a contender, you know, maybe that could be somebody who could maybe one day stop LeBron, or, you know what I'm saying, or like help, you know what I'm saying? Maybe not stop LeBron, because, I mean, with LeBron, how old LeBron is, how young he is, it's kind of not a real argument, but to stop a player of that caliber, you know?
And not to mention, I mean, these guys are all like 19. So
yeah.
What was it, 15 freshmen went in the first in the lottery this time? 15?
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. So that's that was kind of a shock. I mean, a lot of young guys coming into the league right now. They're all talented, though. That's the thing. There's a lot of talents out there. Granted, everyone's got potential. You know, it's just a matter of where you what you do with that potential. A lot of them have to, you know, you got to work at it. You know, and how you're going to go into the NBA and the ethics that you, morals that you kind of stand by. And a lot of it defines how good of a player you can be, you know.
Right.
So it should be interesting to see how it goes about. So like I said, Jason Tatum went
three.
We had Josh Jackson at four, and then we had De'Aaron Fox go five, correct?
To the Kings.
Yeah. Which, that's a nice pick.
Kings,
I mean,
making moves.
Yeah, I don't think anyone, I thought a lot of people had Fox saying, like I said, the Lakers are thinking about taking him for a short while.
There was no way the Lakers weren't taking Lonzo.
I mean, it was in the air. I mean, his dad already had the hat.
I mean, you got to make him sweat a little bit. You know, you can't just let him come in and run this, you know, as a 19-year-old.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, you got to, you know, we got to make you work for it a little bit. But
I think the welcoming interview with Magic Johnson was a little too over the top.
Magic is really on board with this guy.
I feel like he's too on board.
Please,
you know?
Please cool your jets, brother. We don't
talking about hanging his jersey in the rafter one day. And
I
feel like the expectations are ridiculously high for this kid. And hopefully he can live up to at least even maybe a 70% of all the hype, and he'll be a good athlete or a good NBA player. But
I mean, Magic is just, you know, he's Magic. He's
probably different platform. You know, Magic is comparing the potential success of Lonzo to his own success. You know,
we got finally back in the building. He's on the mic right now. What's good, my man?
What's good, fellas?
What's up, man? Good to see you.
Mic, man. Let's do this. All right, finally.
I miss you guys.
It feels like it's been so long.
It has been. It has been.
Yeah. Our long lost host.
I feel like right now, a proud father.
You're looking like one right now. Doesn't know what he's doing.
I think it's the first time you've sat on this side of the studio.
Yeah, I've never sat on this. Well, no, when we used to do Jake's show.
Don't get too high in my
It's been a while, though. It's great to see you guys, but I do feel like a proud father. You guys are killing it. I don't appreciate that you started with the draft and not the Dodgers. I was trying to avoid that part, but whatever.
No, I have to be the giant smashing that will be happening. So you have to be aware of it. Yeah.
Well, let's stay on the draft, though. Let's take your
mustache.
I didn't think you were going to talk about it. It's the new thing I'm trying out.
Okay.
Can you
warn people? I just rolled up in here.
I'm going for the 1990s Dan Rather look.
Okay.
You know? For those of you, like, because radio is such a great visual
tonight.
Video.
It's 12.
Oh, yeah. John right now is rocking himself a nice little
baby tarantula.
It's a nice little, flavor saver.
John looks like he smokes Pall Mars right now.
He's got like it's honestly the kind of the classic cop look.
Yes.
He got the glasses on.
Well, I was in Indio, Palm Desert area this weekend, and it's
glorious over there.
Oh, it was about 122 degrees
there
every day.
Good vacation.
So I was trying to grow out the Derek beard.
That's ambitious.
Yeah, it wasn't going very well. and then I went down south, and it really wasn't going very well.
Yeah.
So I thought, what not better to be around my girlfriend's parents than to shave a mustache? So
all right,
yeah.
Hey, man, 101 right there. Yeah.
She's a keeper if her parents still accept you.
Yeah. I don't know if they did.
I mean, if she still accepts you with the stash.
It's a very nice family, so they didn't say anything until I left. Probably.
Yeah. If you can rock a stash in the relationship, and yeah,
got
to be either solid stash or she's got to have.
Yeah, shout out to my girlfriend Taylor for putting up with the stash.
Big up to Taylor. So where were we at? I heard Josh Jackson there at Park.
We just talked about De'Aaron Fox going to the Kings. Kings making moves.
Yo, the Kings, man. I mean, it's hard to say this early, but the Kings finally didn't pick four point guards that aren't ever going to do anything. Or some European guy that's never going to play, or Jimmer Fredette. So,
Jimmer was a hell of a pickup.
92 for 100 in a charity 3-point thing right there. 92 for 100.
Great. What did he do in the NBA?
I'm just saying.
I think he averaged, career average was like 6 points.
Well, what he averaged in college, though?
Yeah, killed it in college.
BYU fan.
Yeah.
Legend in the Utah State, man.
It's nice, though, that Sacramento finally has. A future that may be bright. They at least have a young core of players that gives that community something to cheer for, because that community fought to keep the Kings in Sacramento.
I mean, they got a new arena right in downtown.
Right in downtown, which is making all the property value shoot up, hence why I stayed in Chico for another 6 months instead of moving down there full time. But it's great for the Kings. It's great for the North State. Hopefully the Kings in the next 4 or 5 years can put together, you know, something special. But they still are a long way away from that. But,
Well, what I was kind of talking about before we went on air with Jordan is I just kind of like the one thing I've taken away from the Kings in all their draft picks is the character development. You know, it's I feel like every time they either get a big-time free agent or draft, you know, high pick, it's just always a questionable character, questionable person. You got Harry Giles and DeAndre Fox and De'Aaron Fox, excuse me, and Zach Collins from Gonzaga, all of which are great character guys in college, have all been said to be
stand-up
dudes. So I feel like that's a good move on the Kings' part.
Well, I mean, if you're, you know, you got rid of Boogie for that reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What'd you say, Jordan? The Cincinnati Bengals of the NBA?
The Cincinnati Bengals of the NBA.
Yeah, but the Bengals make the playoffs.
Yeah. The Bengals for sure make the playoffs.
There's a distinction there for sure. I think it's great for the Kings to at least, if nothing else, because look, I remember the dark days of being a Warriors fan, and we were picking up like Bobby Sura, and I was like watching Bobby Sura mixtapes, like, God, I hope he develops into something. You know, you're like, when your team is trash, you look forward to the draft, like, all right, let's go hope. You know what I mean? But
it's a great seller right there.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, I think it's really good for the Kings to just at least give the fans a reason to show up and root for their team, and not just show up, you know, and be 60% Warriors fans or 60% Lakers fans or whatever it is, you know. And those De'Aaron Fox, I think, could be a superstar. Well, let me pack track. I don't think there's many superstars. I think in the NBA right now, there's
all-star.
Only three.
He could be an all-star.
I think he could be a perennial all-star.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years from now, I could see that happening. And Buddy Hield still on the squad, yeah? Is there too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I didn't like the move getting rid of Boogie for Buddy at the time, but I knew what they're trying to do. They're trying to just go in a different direction. Boogie was never going to be happy there because they're in rebuild mode, and they're going to continue to be terrible.
Boogie's too good to be on that team.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the team, and they didn't have any grown-ups on that team.
Exactly. I mean, he needed a team that was a winning team, and he wasn't.
Or just some veterans around him. I mean, they had Rudy Gay, but it was just Rudy Gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's just like,
and Rudy Gay hasn't been the same since he left Memphis. He hasn't been that level player.
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's a fairly inefficient player. He's one of those guys, when you watch him play, he looks great, you know.
Looks great.
And then you go back and you look at the numbers and you're like, oh man, you know, he shot a lot, he missed a lot, he took some really bad shots, but the ones he makes are pretty spectacular. So it's a fool's gold kind of thing. But I don't think you guys got into the Jimmy Butler trade yet, have you?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're gonna get on that.
Okay,
right.
So to that point, yeah. I thought that move was great to put an adult, a veteran, with a bunch of kids, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I think, that's the next step for the Kings. They got to get to the point where they can, in the next 2-3 years, bring in a couple vets that, you know, are on the back end of their career, like Minnesota did with KG, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And help bring these young guys up, because you can't develop a winning culture if everyone's 22.
Right.
They don't really know what winning is yet.
Right,
NBA.
Right.
So, what cultures look like.
Maybe like Zach Randolph or something to throw in there that's a decent veteran.
Zach Randolph would go crazy on the Kings. Oh, man. But
that would be fun, though.
But I do think it does bring hope, and so yay for the Kings, you know?
And, I mean, you did bring up KG right now, who KG played for the Timberwolves, and the Timberwolves made moves.
They did.
They did.
They acquired themselves a guy named Jimmy Butler. He's a top 10 player in the league, probably.
Yeah,
easily. I've always been a fan of the guy.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. He's borderline.
I'm
he's maybe
top
10.
10.
Yeah.
Top 15. Are you better now? Not yet. No.
I'll give him top 15. Come on, Jordan.
I'm a little tougher, but okay. Especially when people are on bad teams.
I'd be tougher too if I was.
Because Rudy Gay was an all-star on the Grizzlies because they couldn't score. You know what I'm saying? But now he goes to a team that can actually score, and he's not that valued.
Yeah, but I mean, Rudy Gay is a decent defender, but he's no Jimmy Butler. And I think I agree. I don't think Jimmy Butler will ever be that superstar player. And I think that's what you're kind of saying is he's solid.
He's a good player.
He's a really good player.
Good two-way player.
You know, he's going to be, like I said, he's going to be in the All-Star game for a number of years to come.
Yeah.
Right now. He's going to be
tougher in the West.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah, he's going to be a lot tougher in the West.
He's a two?
But what you got to think, too, is who's his coach in Minnesota?
Tibbs.
Yeah. And that's where he had his best season with
Yeah, the last season he had, what? He was all first-team defensive
fifth
player.
Year in right now?
Comeback player of the year.
I think this
average.
Will be his sixth,
yeah.
Maybe.
He's 5 years in. Mm-hmm. Six guys just reaching his prime right now.
Yeah, agreed.
So I think Timberwolves, I get where they're doing. They want to win. They got, like I said, Carl Anthony Towns is that type of guy where...
he's a superstar.
He's a superstar. Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a legit superstar. So.
And, I mean, you have Wiggins as well.
Yeah, those three right there. Butler, Wiggins, and Towns, that's
a
good nucleus that you can fill a team around.
And Rubio, he's not a great defender, he's not a great shooter, but that boy can distribute.
He's
got some dudes to now really distribute to. And I think having that veteran presence, like I keep going back to, is really going to help the Timberwolves this year. I think that's what killed them last year, because everyone was expecting them to maybe jump up in that 7th or 8th seed, and you know, they just started off terrible. They had a little surge in the middle of the season and then kind of fell back off. But, you know, I think having a guy like Jimmy Butler, who has been in the playoffs, you know, just as recently as this past season, and has been there before, there's a certain experience and skill. I guess experience is a better way to put it, that comes with winning. You need to learn how to win. I think a lot of dudes can hoop and can ball and go get buckets, but knowing how to win is different. Mm-hmm. And I think Jimmy Butler at least has a sense of that and has at least experienced some level of postseason play. And he's been around veterans. I mean, he was with Dwayne Wade when he got the news, you know, and they became real good pals. And we could talk about Dwayne Wade in a minute. But I thought it was a great move, and I'm probably one of four people on the planet that thought it was a great move for both teams.
Yeah,
I was wondering what you guys thought about that.
I like Chicago, honestly, like picking up those players. I really think Chris Dunn.
Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn.
Yeah,
from Providence. I think, you know, give it a couple years, he could be one of the top point guards in the East, if not the entire NBA. Here, I mean, you know, give it 4 or 5 years, but... I mean, you see what he did at Providence, you know, big body, can play defense. He needs to kind of find his own identity in the NBA. But and then LaVine, you know, just jumps out of the building.
I hope he gets better from that knee injury, because that's going to be a big factor on it, especially
for sure.
Yeah. You know? But I think nowadays an ACL, I don't freak out about it. And
but he's still ways from being completely cleared of it.
Oh, for sure.
He hasn't been 100% cleared of it yet. So
tore it, what, back in February or something like that? I mean,
beginning of the season. Yeah, very beginning of the season.
He missed a dunk contest because of it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It happened short, like a month before the like January-ish.
I mean, Chicago's not worried about being good anytime soon, so he can sit out an extra 2 months into the season if he wants to.
Yeah, they're not worried about it. Chicago wasn't trying to pay that kicker, that $70 million kicker, if Jimmy Butler made
the Supermax.
What's that?
The Supermax.
That Supermax, if he made All-NBA again. They didn't want to pay him that because for what?
For what? For us to be terrible?
First round knockout. Guys to be an 8 seed again or a 7 seed?
He sold a lot of his jerseys.
I mean, it's just Chicago's in rebuild mode. They know it. The fans know it. And I know Jimmy Butler wanted to stay. And so I don't know. He really loved Chicago from everything he said. So we'll see if he ends up, re-signing in Minnesota. He has 2 years left on his contract, I believe. So, but I thought it made sense from Chicago's standpoint. If you're not going to pay the guy, then why keep him on the roster another 2 years and then let him walk for nothing? Get back some younger guys. Get back a pick. And I was surprised Minnesota gave up that 16 pick. I didn't see why they needed to do that, but
it just seemed like a cherry on top for them.
Yeah, it didn't seem necessary, but good for
the GMs, man. That's working magic right there.
So. Yeah, I just thought it was mutually beneficial. I thought it made sense for both teams.
I like that trade more if they didn't sign Dwayne Wade for $20 million for this upcoming year. I like that trade so much more. But it was his option, so it's not like they could just like take it from him. But
right,
Wade's pissed off for sure. If I'm
Wade, is up. He's making $20 million this year.
24.
He's good.
$24 million.
Exactly.
Don't forget that four.
Wade is fine.
That's more than fine. Car right there, man.
He's going to be so miserable.
Let's be realistic. The Bulls win 25 games next year.
Yeah. They might buy him out, though. Yeah, is what I'm hearing.
Okay. I mean, that's probably his plan. If I was Dwayne Wade, my knee would hurt every game until they're like, "All right, bro, here's your check. Gone about your business. We're over it.
We'll see you in Cleveland."
Yeah, I mean, I just think. I don't think Dwayne Wade, I think he may start the season with Chicago, but I don't see any reason that he stays there. That makes no sense for him.
Yeah.
No, and by the way, real quick, can we thank LeBron real quick? Can we, everyone, please, around the country, around the world, let's take a moment to thank LeBron. Because when LeBron made that decision, he forever changed the way the NBA offseason went. And if it wasn't for that decision, we would all be trying to break down baseball knowing damn well we only watch the teams. Me and John only watch the Giants, and you only watch the Dodgers, and that's all we know. And I cannot do an hour on Giants-Dodgers, especially this season. So thank you, LeBron.
I'm going to say, we love our little we need some bonbons right now. It's like a soap opera we're watching. This is like the summertime soap opera.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
because let's face it, it's drama. We like the drama. Where are they going to go? Hope is a big selling point for a lot of people. And there's a lot of teams out there that have winning ways, and they want to win again. The Lakers in particular. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, we had trades that could have happened that didn't happen in our news. We have the fact that love gets no love. Like, love cannot be sold, apparently. Right. You know?
Well, and think about it. It's hope trafficking, right? Yeah. Like, this is something. During the season, only really three teams had a chance going in, and we knew that. San Antonio, Golden State, Cleveland. We knew those were the only three teams that really had any chance of winning a championship, and we really thought it was going to be the two teams that were in the finals, and really we thought it was going to be the team that won. So there was very little drama in the way of the NBA season, but the moment the season ended, like every franchise for the most part is now a talking point. Yeah. There's things. I mean, Dwight Howard got traded. We didn't even talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Dwight Howard is trash.
Well,
going to Charlotte.
12, though. He got number 12 back.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
stay D12. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put up signs in LA. Let's never ever forget that.
Stay D. Yeah, yeah. Oh, whenever Laker fans talk trash to you, hashtag stay D12.
The Lakers. Why would they? I love going on these side tangents, and I'm gonna go ahead and do that because it's been a while since I've been on the show, which is only 1 week. But I miss you guys. Why would the Lakers ever send Kobe to any meeting to try and pitch someone? Because Kobe goes in there like, "Nah, we're good. We got me. We got Kobe." Like, yeah, if you want to stay here, cool, whatever. Like, maybe they'll make you a statue, but I'm for sure getting a statue. I'm for sure taking every one of those shots. So if you want to stay down there, hang down and get my rebounds and kick it back out, cool.
Good on Kobe, man. Hey.
One last point of the draft I want to talk about, a unique point. As I thought it was interesting that the Warriors bought themselves back into the draft
after
Jordan Bell in the second round. I feel like that's a great pick for the Warriors.
High motor.
Another Draymond Green type.
Mm-hmm. High motor.
Like I said, going back on that, a lot of people are you think the Warriors can't get much better and like draft really well. Smart GM work again.
Yeah.
And then you get GM work in New York right now where, you got Phil Jackson who wants to get rid of his unicorn.
He's trying to get fired.
Yeah. Phil doesn't want that job.
I mean, let's face it.
You see who he drafted?
No, I don't know. I forget his name. Frank
Nitta Kalina.
Remember the last French dude they drafted? Do you guys remember who it is?
Is that the dude that got dunked on by Vince Carter?
He played zero games in the NBA, and basically his entire world was over. It's actually a sad documentary.
Oh.
When Vince Carter jumped over him and had the nastiest dunk in recorded human history.
And he was a Knicks draft pick?
Yeah.
Oh, so he's a dunk bait.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, going back on the Knicks right now, we always can expect our good friend Stephen A. Smith.
Yes, I can't wait for the sound.
To give us some sound bites about how good of a GM job Phil Jackson is doing. This is our pal, Stephen A. Let's give a listen to him, all right?
I'm going to do you a favor, my brother. I'm going to leave it to you. Because if it comes out of my mouth, and I sit up there and I literally articulate the stuff that this man has done since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'm telling you right now, if it comes out of my mouth, I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now. I'm going to try to keep my composure.
A few moments later.
His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
That was the best.
Yes.
Blueberries. If you missed that entire thing, I don't know if you guys have heard it yet, but
I'm going to play it for us too because I got that queued up as well.
You got that one too?
Do you have it
where it starts off and he's like, "Cut the music off"?
I don't have it far.
All right, go ahead. I want to hear this.
We just have Stephen A. Smith going on just epic rants.
It's
right
pure
now.
Gold,
and it actually was able to spawn something.
Crack!
Like this.
Crack.
This is from the Dan Le Batard show.
Oh, yes, this is fire.
Blueberries. Crack. Blueberries. Crack. Crack. Crack.
Blueberries.
Crack.
Oh, man.
Blueberries.
He's one in a million, man.
Yes, Stephen A. Smith, thank you for this. For the Dan Le Batard show in particular, thank you for that. They get a nice little montage of just Stephen A. just saying some great things.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So he's really mad at Phil Jackson, as is pretty much every New Yorker right now.
Well, New York needs a good team, man. That city is a basketball first city.
Yes.
And they've been terrible for years. And, I mean, it is everywhere you go, they're still talking about the Knicks. Most people in New York, they are Knicks first, Yankees second, Giants or whatever, third. But it is a New York Knickerbocker town. It is a basketball town. They pride themselves in basketball. And they deserve much better than what that joke of an owner, James Dolan, during the draft, his band was playing a concert.
Yeah. They interviewed him and they said, "How does he feel about the draft? The day before the draft, how does he feel about the draft?" And he says, "I'm leaving that up to my front office. I actually have an album to do,
which is great,
to record.
Which is fine. But your front office is Phil Jackson, a guy who is actively trying to get fired and can't. When else does that happen in life? Yeah. Have you ever tried to get fired from a job? I have.
It's not that difficult.
No. You show up late. You have a very laissez-faire attitude about work. When your boss calls you to meetings, you kind of blow him off. It's that simple, people. And Phil Jackson is doing everything in his power, including starting drama and beef. Sorry. I was going to bring up the Charles Oakley thing. That was not related.
But I'm sure Phil was behind the scenes being like, "You got this, Dolan. Just keep going. Just keep going with this, Dolan."
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel bad for New York Knicks fans. I feel bad for their franchise. I feel bad for Carmelo. I feel bad for everyone involved, man.
Yeah.
Well, not so bad for Carmelo.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for Carmelo. He made that decision, too. He could have easily went to a team that he knew was going to be good, and he decided to take
for half the money.
Yeah, not for half, but
what's Phil Jackson doing though? Putting his young Kristaps Porzingis in the headlines like that. It's just. It's so ill thought out.
It's his first year over here in America.
Not only that, but that's like the one saving grace that Phil Jackson has to his tenure right now as the GM or as the acting, you know, president. It's
You drafted this kid
who, granted, when he was drafted, not even the Knickerbocker fans wanted him, you know, booze like throughout. Yeah. I mean, now everyone's rocking his jersey. Everyone's, you know, loving this guy. And now you're going on blast saying, well, he's tradable.
Dude, he's called the unicorn right now. Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, why? That's got to mean something right there. Like, you can't train your unicorn, man. They don't come around often.
I feel bad for the Knicks. I really do.
How much longer is it? I mean, obviously, James Dolan has probably zero interest in giving up this team that, you know, is making him a lot of money, I'm sure, even though this fan base is hating him. I just wonder, like, how much longer is it going to take for this to go on? How long is this drama?
One thing I really wish to see, though, on a side note, is the game one of next year's NBA regular season. I want to see James Dolan and his band come out and sing. Sing the national anthem at a Knicks game and see how
that's received.
Yeah.
I can tell you it's going to sound something like this. Oh, boo!
You probably wouldn't be able to hear the band, honestly, just from all the boos that are coming out. Again, this is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. Like I said, we got to thank our sponsors right now. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Andrew Sprague Construction, certified impervious concrete for our green future and serving the North State since 1983. Andrew Sprague Construction specializes in structural concrete for commercial and residential construction, as well as hardscape, including stained and stampede concrete. Contact Andrew Sprague Construction by calling 877-7124. Thank you, Andrew Spray Construction, for all that you're doing right now. And like I said, we are going on the time right now with the news. Keep that going. So I'm sorry, man. Don't mind that crackling, y'all. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. Down it out a little bit right now. You know, that's still not actually working right now. This is actually not going to work because I actually need my phone to look at this. So,
all right.
Good stuff right now. The news, y'all, for today, Monday, June 26th. Good times are rolling, y'all. If you happen to be in Southern California this past weekend and catch an old-timer soccer match between two Mexican soccer clubs, you were treated to a little bit of soccer action as well as a full-on fan brawl. What a certain treat that was. It actually was. There's video out there online where these fans literally storm the field and just start fighting each other, apparently from too many cervezas, you know?
It happens.
It does, naturally.
Or margaritas.
You're at a game right now. I got to give a big shout-out to my man, Daniel Ricciardo. He is the Australian who won his first ever Formula One Grand Prix.
Danny boy.
Yes. He is. He's always been on the podium. Been on the podium many times before. Has never actually taken a top spot. But yesterday in Baku, in Azerbaijan, he took it. Right at the podium with him was Valtteri Bottas and Lance Stoll. He's a rookie Canadian driver. So right on, Canada. You're doing something good in life.
Man.
Vikings,
why is shot at Canadians?
Sorry.
Sorry, boot it.
Wow.
Vikings wideout Michael Floyd will have to spend one day in jail and then complete the rest of his five-day house arrest after he violated his probation. Apparently, he was still drinking when he wasn't supposed to be and skipping drug tests and whatnot. So, Michael Floyd, one night in jail. Been there, bud.
Yo, real quick side note. True story. After we finished our first episode of Roe and Izzo, we had to like end it and run out of there. And we ended the show with me saying, "Sorry guys, we gotta go. I gotta drive this guy to jail." And it was 1,000% true.
That's true. Yes, we had to end our TV show on a short note the first time.
But you learned a lesson. You learned a valuable lesson.
Don't drink and drive, y'all.
Yep.
There's plenty of ways to get around town. Uber, taxis, walking. Stay safe out there, though. A 23-year-old university employee of the University of Missouri, who's probably a former employee now, was able to somehow drive his Volkswagen Passat onto the basketball court. He caused roughly $100,000 in damage into the Mizzou's basketball arena. Like, he literally drove through a gate and finagled his way onto the court. That's crazy. Hey, that should be a Volkswagen commercial right there.
Nice places, man. Hey, I'm Blake Griffin.
I drive to work.
I drive to work.
Gamer fans are thirstier than ever after hearing Nintendo's plan to release the Super Nintendo Classic for $80, which will include 21 different games ranging from the unreleased Star Fox 2, Super Mario, Final Fantasy 3,
21,
and Donkey Kong Country.
No Yoshi's Island? I'm out. I'm out.
I didn't see the full list.
Okay.
There's got to be some Mario Party in there.
I mean, there's 21 different games for this.
Maybe Mario Kart.
21.
Wait, 21 different games?
21 different games. Comes along with this pack.
But I'm saying, like, okay, like, because there's like a Mario series, you know what I'm saying? So is the Mario series count as one game?
I don't think so. I think it's just the
See, that's trash. That's trash. I need the whole Mario series.
So you're out of it already.
Yeah, no, Mario.
All right.
Yeah, if I don't have Yoshi's Island, I'm straight.
Well, I mean, they got Star Fox 2, which was never released.
Star Fox was tight, but if you don't have Yoshi's Island, like I said,
we all can't win. I'm sorry. Well, Nintendo tried. It failed in this room.
Yeah, you lost with me, Nintendo.
I love how you always try to do the news in like 2 minutes, and then we just start coming in with our opinions that you didn't ask for.
I appreciate it, y'all. I really do. I do. It's fun times. We're going to kind of end it on a sad note, because I thought this is just... It was astonishing when I saw this this headline. After the terrible tragedy that happened at the Grenfell Towers in the UK, the people did the smart thing, and they tested 75 other high-rise buildings where people lived, and all 75 of them failed.
Jeez.
They all cited the same similar cladding that the Grenfell Towers had that's very combustible. Nothing has yet been set in motion to fix the issue. However, they are evacuating people from their homes and stuff. Wow. And
75
of them. That's they tested great, 75 man. Of them, and all 75 of them failed. One of the big reasons why is in the UK, they do not have the building standards and codes that we have here. So they're able to get away with a lot worse construction, right? Yeah, we're not all that bad
That's
here.
That's why we're number one. That's why we got out of there.
Right? We saw what you were doing. We're going to burn down buildings right now from us.
Throw that tea off of a boat.
Speaking of which, July 4th is right around the corner. So yeah. Shouts to that, man.
That's why I'm rocking the stash.
Shouts to America.
Independence.
Yep. Right on. Except we're not. we still need a lot of things out there, like oil. That's the news for y'all today. Again. Thank you all for your influence and whatnot. Yeah.
Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Derek. I feel smarter.
I tried to do that. Enlighten everyone. Something that they didn't know about today, they do now. So we're going to continue this great show going, because we're going to go on the Dodger train right now. I got to go there. I do. Because this past weekend, if you don't know the name Cody Bellinger, you clearly don't pay attention to baseball. Or you're a Giants fan and you just hate life because you're losing to the Padres. And the Padres have a roster that is getting paid less than Clayton Kershaw is this season right now.
Yeah, well, Clayton Kershaw is getting raked.
Yeah, he's getting money, man. He's getting money.
Yeah.
But like I said, for those of you who aren't aware, Cody Bellinger had another multi-home run game, his sixth in his young career. He's only played in, like, this is his rookie season. He got called up end of April, and his swing is so pretty. This is the sixth he's had. He's belted 24 home runs so far this season, and he's really just kind of put a whole life support onto the Dodgers right now. Everyone is hitting the ball really well over there. They just had a 10-game win streak, swept the Rockies, and have a nice little gap on the top of the West.
They're on a 15-game win streak, aren't they?
It was 10-game win streak. But they were on a 7-game win streak before they lost one, and they went on a 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to add one thing to this conversation, if I could.
You actually have something, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bellinger, fun fact, doesn't know who Jerry Seinfeld
is. He doesn't. I saw that interview.
So that's all I got.
He's heard of him, but he
I mean,
the
kid is 21.
Yeah.
So he's tied.
21.
Is he tied with Aaron Judge for?
No. Judge has 26.
26. Yeah, okay.
For home runs right now.
Judge is leading. Yes. I like this. I think it's funny but I think it's pretty amazing that two rookies are.
I mean, if you
leading
look at the
MLB
home run list in general, it's a whole bunch of there's no one you really would know up there.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
they're not doing the roids anymore, man.
They're just doing a different
kind.
Well,
dudes are raking this year. They're actually. It's just home runs are up when. Then compared to the steroid era, believe it or not.
Home runs are up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
But I heard Tim Kurchin on the radio the other day, and he brought up an interesting point. And he said his theory for why is because dudes don't learn how to hit anymore. They learn how to hit for power, and that's about it. So dudes aren't scared of striking out anymore where, you know, you would, back in the day, you would try to get a...
Get some contact.
You're trying to build
contact.
Single, yeah, maybe.
Hit it hard somewhere, Bill.
Yeah, try to find a gap and hit it there. You try to Ichiro it.
I mean, because you really look at Cody Bellinger's swing, it really does look like every single time he's swinging, he's like, I'm going for you right now.
Yeah, well...
Well, and he has and, been pretty much. Corey Seager, too. I mean, he's...
Both of them. I mean, they got a young...
It's amazing.
Second year or third?
This is second. Second. And yeah. It's amazing, too, because if Bellinger wasn't having the season that he's having... It would be all about Seager right now. I mean, Seager's having a hell of a season right now himself.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's kind of getting overshadowed by Bellinger. So,
I mean, the guy is doing work right now. Like, only 21, doesn't know who Jerry Seinfeld is, but that's go watch some Seinfeld. Man.
I'm just really excited. I'm just really excited to see how good those Dodger teams are, and then see him exit in the first round again.
Seinfeld's really on the same level as Friends, so it's like for a comedic value.
I mean, I think Seinfeld, I appreciate Seinfeld more than I appreciate Friends.
But I'm going to tell you straight up, let's just cut through it and get to the elephant in the room. Black people, for the most part, besides Wale, don't watch Seinfeld.
Besides Wale.
I don't think Wale watches Seinfeld. You know what I'm saying? I think he just likes Jerry Seinfeld. Maybe, you know? Jerry Seinfeld
Robert
seems
Griffin
like a good guy.
Watches Seinfeld.
All right, but Robert Griffin
and Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan watches Seinfeld for sure.
I'm making a whole lot of assumptions here.
Yeah, Tim Duncan might...
I don't like where this is going at all.
Duncan is a savage.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Seinfeld is not appreciated in that culture.
I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying it wasn't...
It's not a thing.
Martin was more popular amongst most black people I know. I grew up watching more Martin than Seinfeld.
Talking Martin Lawrence?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying for the people out there that don't know
Martin. What other Martin is there besides Luther King?
Martin Sheen? I don't know. Martin Sheen's out there. Just saying.
The MLK had a movie on TV? Oh, my God.
This conversation is proof positive there are two Americas.
Martin Sheen. They're watching the West Wing.
This is what we do here on Talking About Practice. We bring people together.
Well, yeah. For real.
Moving on.
Yes.
Are we done with the Dodger-Giants talk?
Bridging the gap.
I mean, what's there to say about the Giants? Yeah. We're garbage. We just called up Ryder Jones. Ryder Jones has been raking for the Rivercats. He's been great for the Rivercats. And being that I get to work on some of the Rivercats games, I'm always excited when we bring some of those guys up, and I know who they are before my friends do, so I can drop some knowledge, you know? But that's about where it ends because it's been a pretty abysmal season. I am going to San Diego in a couple weeks to see the Giants-Padres play. And
fingers crossed for
you. If we get swept to the Padres in San Diego,
that's tough sledding. Right.
Hey, at least you're in Petco Park, though. That's
no
nice,
doubt, it's a nice place to be. Yeah. So.
And you're right downtown in San Diego.
Yeah, and I'm gonna let's be real. Sure. If the Giants are losing like by a lot, I'm gonna be so many beers deep by that point. It's not gonna matter.
If the Giants are winning, you're gonna be so.
Good point.
Yeah.
Let's.
I really actually before we actually moved on for that, I had to bring up because I completely forgot to. I have to bring up what happened in yesterday's game with the Dodgers and really rag on the guy Adam Ottavino, who came into the game in the seventh inning with a 2-run lead, two outs, and two guys on. Walked his first base and then proceeded to throw two wild pitches that scored 3 runs.
Oh.
And then came out the next inning and threw two more wild pitches that scored 2 runs. So four wild pitches, 2 innings, 5 runs.
Wow.
Wow.
Adam Ottavino had a terrible day yesterday. Gave up the game for that.
Why'd the manager not pull him?
I don't know. It's
early. It's early.
I mean,
he
was a reliever. He came into the game in the seventh.
Oh, Lord.
He came into the game in the
seventh. That's what I'm saying.
Like I said, it was deuces wild, 2 on, 2 out.
Okay, I get the first one. Even the second one.
I mean, the second one allowed 2 runs to score.
Okay, and then you get to the third, and it's like, all right.
I'm done. I can't take you anymore. You're fired.
Wow, okay.
Cut from the game.
Well,
back to the minors.
Yeah, well, staying on baseball, I mean, is there the one benefit as Giants fans, you know, it's such a bad season. Like you were saying, you get all those call-ups to see,
young
guys.
See
if, see if they got some talent. On that note, Tim Tebow got called up.
And so I knew somebody was going to talk about it. Go ahead, Timmy. Yeah.
Tim Tebow got called up. This dude is batting .222. With 3 home runs and gets called up.
But he's provocative.
He gets the people going.
And nobody knows what it means.
Dude, that was so
going.
Dude, I don't see. I get the Mets are kind of tanking like the Giants are right now. But really? You're going to bring up Tim Tebow?
I mean, I just think
the guy's making money in a bigger state.